Mine was out of...
Sorry,
go ahead.
Welcome to the Mighty Morphin Power Hour. I'm your host, Riley, the Red Podcast Ranger, and each week my guests and I sit down in the command center and talk about fanciful worlds without the restriction of intellectual property rights. It's the Mighty Morphin Power Hour. With us today is felony hacker and prank callist, host of the generic tortilla and chips and Four Loko show, Brad Carter. Welcome to the show.
Hey, everyone. I haven't done an episode of that in a few years now. I don't know if you can still say I'm the host of that.
Oh.
The generics.
I must be a little out of date on my podcast reader. Could you update that feed?
Oh, yeah. I'm calling it the Snowplow Show these days. It used to be called the...
What's that
for
about?
For a while, it was... I was just changing the name for every single episode. For a while, it was the Brent Westwood pre-show. Brent Westwood Four Loko and...
Yeah.
It was weird. I didn't know what I was doing back then.
Speaking of it was alcohol-induced. I love that idea. And to honor you, I'm going to drink some satirical Four Loko today.
Oh, okay.
It's definitely not a real Four Loko because I'm not old enough to drink alcohol. So it's satire.
Okay. Like how Asterios did the satire of taking acid.
Satire acid.
During his show.
Yeah. I can confirm it was satire.
I'm not...
Satire in the way that gets you really fucking high on acid.
Yeah, it seemed like it on the stream. Jim Bob is asking in the chat room, where do we chat during the show? He's asking that in the chat room.
In the chat room. Good job, Jim Bob the Impaler.
What a dummy.
This is going to be the only episode with fan interaction, too.
Yeah.
It's going to be great. Let's jump right into the show. Every week... We started off by talking about things we have in common. So we got to sort of list off a bunch of interests we have until we find something that we both enjoy. Or dislike. Just something we have in common.
Okay.
So just, what do you enjoy?
Something I currently enjoy?
Sure.
Oh, shit. This is a lot of pressure. I've been enjoying the new Stephen King Castle Rock show.
Oh,
I've been enjoying
Disenchantment.
The Not Simpsons show.
Oh?
Yeah.
I've not heard of that one, but I am a big Castle Rock fan.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's a fun show. It's so far. I mean, I don't know.
What's it about? Like, what's the pitch?
I don't know. It's like Stephen King land and a bunch of mysterious stuff happens. I think it's like maybe Twin Peaks or something.
Yeah, I know Castle Rock. Disenchanted, the Not Simpsons show.
I guess.
What is that?
You know, Simpsons was just America and Futurama was the future in space. And this one is like medieval times, castles and princesses and all that stuff.
That's funny.
Yeah, it's definitely not as good as the old Futurama and the Simpsons, but it's pretty good. I'm liking it so far. I'm halfway through it.
Okay. I'll have to look into that. I've not heard of that. Do you watch a lot of animated sitcoms type stuff?
I wouldn't say a lot. I'm really into Steven Universe for some reason. I hate to admit that, but ask me any Steven Universe question and you'll get an answer. I didn't mean to...
Who is your favorite Jim?
My favorite Jim, probably Amethyst, because she's like the...
Amethyst.
You know, she's the rebellious one. The moody one.
Okay.
She always fucks with people for no reason.
That's great.
Yeah, let's stop talking about Stephen Universe.
Yeah, I remember we were talking about the show, and you were saying, like, I don't want to bring Stephen Universe on.
Well, you asked. You asked if I liked a lot of animated stuff, and you know what? At least I'm not a brony, so.
Yeah, absolutely, right? Oh, Jim is his favorite Jim. Oh, the chat's going to distract Jim. Me this time. They're the crystal gems, right?
That's great.
We are the crystal gems.
I want to make a parody now.
Yeah. Speaking of parodies, and sort of the point of the show today is you were right. The top end was going to be really short this time because we've got a lot of content to cover. We've got a lot of morphing to do and a lot of parody content to make based on your favorite sitcom from the 90s, which I had to look up and watch an episode of. It's kind of absurd.
I wouldn't
tell us about it.
Well, for one thing, I don't know if I want to say it's my favorite. I was just trying to pick something that wasn't something that everybody else knew about. And I was thinking about going with Sliders because I was a big Sliders fan in the late 90s. And then we talked about Stargate, and I'm like, nah, fuck Stargate. Who cares about Stargate? So I picked Freak Me Out. It's early 90s. You looked it up. What is it? 93, 94? It lasted two or three seasons?
Yeah, 1993. I only found that the first season was out in 1993. I couldn't find the second season at all. Like, I believe you that there is one, but, oh man, this show is hard to find. But it makes sense. It looks like it's been heavily buried by Wozniak. Like you think.
I mean, it lasted... I'm pretty sure it lasted three seasons. Maybe it was just two, but you think that would make it... At least people would have it up on YouTube or something, but I can't find anything on it. So it...
Yeah, I found a satirical torrent of the first six episodes. So
satirical.
And they're all like really shitty quality.
Yeah,
satire torrent. Everything illegal is satire.
Oh.
That way you can't get in trouble for it.
Oh, I never heard of that.
It's a new system for us millennials.
Okay.
Gen Z years.
Yeah.
So
but yeah, it was a fun show. It was, back in the hacker days, is before Windows really blew up. It was, we were all still using DOS and everything. Didn't have the internet really.
Yeah.
And it's just
so
should I run down the premise?
Okay. Yeah. Just starting with is Wozniak Berkeley Blue or something, right? That's what they call his character. Is that because I know that's a thing in real life too, I thought.
Maybe.
Is this based on his life? Or
I think it's all I mean, it's a comedy. It has a laugh track. And it's kind of just sitcom thing. And the characters' names are John and Woz, but I can't, I can't even remember if they played, I don't think they had actors playing them, right?
Yeah, I don't think they were in it, but it was, definitely named after John Draper, because they called him Captain Crunch once, made a Captain Crunch joke. So it's John Draper, famous, what would you call him? Phone freak or definitely hacker?
He's more of a phone freak than a hacker.
Phone freak?
Yeah.
And then... Woz is a hacker.
If you can even call him that. I mean, he didn't really do anything. He just discovered that fair whistle enough. And his Frosted Flakes or something and took the name and...
Yeah.
I don't know.
So, yeah, what's the show about? Because it's really absurd.
It's like a wacky situation comedy. It came out the same year as Sneakers, actually, now that I think about it. So it's kind of along that vein, but it's more of a... wacky sitcom type thing, and it's like two roommates, one's a hacker, one's a phone freak. They get into weird crazy situations every week, and they have to solve them in 30 minutes. There's like, I don't know, there's stuff with the landlord. They're always about to get kicked out. It reminds me kind of what's that show, Danny DeVito? It's Always Sunny. They're always doing some kind of... Yeah, twins. They're always up to something. They're always doing twins. Some sort of a scam. They're troublemakers.
Do you have a favorite episode?
It's hard to... Do
you remember any of them?
I seriously have not seen this in over 20 years now. It was on TV in the late 90s still.
Yeah.
But after that, it wasn't on any torrents or anything. It's kind of like Sliders. Sliders, for a while, you couldn't find that anywhere. Until they finally released the DVD sets not too long ago. But yeah, I hope that happens with this one. I kind of doubt it will, because I don't know how it did in the ratings. But
I hope, they bring back a lot of shows, though, so they could always reboot this at some point.
Oh, they can't reboot it.
Maybe we can drum up interest in it.
I don't know if I'd want...
You don't want to see it come back? Well, okay, maybe not reboot, but
maybe bringing back War Games or...
Just revive...
Yeah, it'd be like bringing back you can't bring back some things. You can't bring back War Games. Computers were in a different place back then. Like, everyone thought computers were magical and could do anything. There's this episode where, I forget which one, he gets a job at Radio Shack and he starts stealing parts, and then I guess Woz is building a supercomputer at home, and it comes to life, of course, because it's back then. And that's what computers did. They turned evil and came to life and locked him in their apartment.
That's amazing.
It was a fun show. It was just a weird, fun thing to watch.
I want to try to find the theme song. Because I found a really low audio quality of it, but if I can find a better one, I'm going to tag it at the end of the show. because it's really bad.
Yeah.
Like,
I barely
remember the theme song.
I barely remember it. I like it was just lame, you know, like
typical
90s.
Yeah, the hook it was something, or not hook, I guess, but you know, the punch at the end of the midway chorus, just like they hack computers and phones with such style. It's like, you can tell it's romanticizing hacker culture in the 90s.
Yeah, like it reminded me of Too Many Cooks, you know, like they're singing the song and then you see Waz on the phone and he smiles and freeze frame.
Yeah.
It was a fun show.
Too Many Cooks was good.
I feel like it probably hasn't aged well and I probably wouldn't enjoy it today, even though it's about computer hacking and phone freaking. I don't know. I still like like Electric Dreams. You ever see Electric Dreams, the movie? Not the porno.
I'm sorry, Electric Dreams?
Yeah, it's like a love story between this guy and this next door neighbor lady of, you know, lady that lives next door to him and his computer. His computer gets jealous and tries to steal the girl from him.
No, that's crazy.
Yeah.
It sounds like, that's awesome.
Yeah, and like...
You know so many of these, like, gems of 90s shows.
Well, this one was 84. Back then, like, just computers were magical things. They could do anything. Like, the computer locked him in his apartment. It's a lot like that episode of Freak Me Out. And, like, he couldn't get out of his apartment. It opened the fridge and just threw food at him somehow. It just did all these things that computers just could not, like, just how could it physically do that, you know?
Okay. That's awesome. Oh, man.
There's an old episode of Mork and Mindy that had the exact same premise. Like a computer and it starts expanding and all of a sudden it's got cameras coming out of air vents in their bedroom and like they touch their doorknob and it shocks them and like, I'm a computer. Basically a wizard.
Mork and Mindy was weird too. It was so absurd to me that was a show on television.
Yeah. Well,
it doesn't seem to fit the time or like the other shows around it. Like, I guess it's connected to Happy Days, but why?
Yeah, apparently, I don't know.
You were telling me something earlier,
Mr. Biggs,
about its connection to Happy Days.
Mr. Biggs told me earlier that the reason Mork became a character was because some producer on Happy Days was really into Star Wars, so he wanted to see some kind of space alien stuff in Happy Days, and they were like, okay.
Oh, that's awesome.
Let's do an alien episode of Happy Days.
I love when shows do that. General Hospital, you know that, right? That soap opera?
Yeah.
You know of it?
I mean, I know of it. I had a babysitter that watched it all the time.
it's been running since you were young enough to have a babysitter.
Yeah.
That's impressive. That show has been on every day for like 70 years, though. Holy crap.
That's pretty weird.
So it has to follow all the fads in pop culture. So there's been alien arcs. There's been one-time vampires came there to Port Charles, the town, and it was a vampire thing for like 3 months or something.
How do you know this stuff?
Like,
you,
during the Twilight.
You watch soap operas?
No, but my mom used to a lot. Okay. This is like 2013. I did watch a little bit of, that's sort of a lie. I did watch General Hospital for a while, but it's because in the 90s, James Franco had an arc where he played an artist named Franco who would kill beautiful women and then paint them. So I watched the like 8 months he was on the show.
That sounds terrible.
That was good. No, it was so good. James Franco is a national treasure.
I watched The Young and the Restless for a very short time in the mid 80s, probably like a year of The Young and the Restless. I would tape it while I was at school for some reason.
I mean, it's constant entertainment. That's the best thing about soap operas, like the way they come out every day. Like if The Flash could come out every day, I'd accept that some of them have no CGI. Like, I just want an episode of Barry like talking to his friends in Star Labs. Just pull the budget and make an episode every day.
Having all kinds of drama and people killing each other.
Baby drama, stuff like that. Vampires for a week, just for no reason. What is your favorite flavor of satirical Four Loko?
Fruit punch. Fruit punch and only fruit punch. And then watermelon's my second favorite if fruit punch is not available.
Yeah, I'm drinking watermelon. It was was there. They took the energy, the caffeine out of it. Wasn't that the fun part? Is that it used to have a shit ton of caffeine?
I never had it with the caffeine because they took it out before I started drinking them.
Yeah.
And then like recently.
Definitely before I started drinking.
They started coming out with all these new flavors, like a gold can and a bronze can. And I tried some of those. I don't know what they like. It doesn't clearly say what they are. And like, I don't know. They just don't taste. I just like the basic flavors, the watermelons and the whatever.
The fruit punches.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just like, why don't I just drink wine or something?
Oh, because it's like girly drinks, or just like, oh, I want the fruit punch flavor.
It just like,
well,
when
you're
not drinking
the grape one.
Yeah, like so. I started drinking like when I was doing shows and stuff, and I'm like, you know what? These beers are really inefficient. I should find something better. And I didn't want to drink wine. I'm like, what about these Four Loko things? And I looked at the alcohol content, and the cans were twice as big, and it seemed like a really good bargain, and it would make me have to leave to pee less. So yeah. Four Locos.
Yeah. I tend to, you know, shots of Captain Morgan. That's how you do it periodically through a podcast. Because after three, you get really funny.
Yeah. I had...
according to you, anyway. Like, but yeah.
I only did a couple shows on with hard liquor. I remember the one with Evie, and then there was one, I think I was by myself, I drank a bottle of vodka. I don't remember how they went. They probably went terrible. Go? I don't remember.
Oh.
The one with Evie was fun. That was the one where we had a blender. We were doing Will It Blend. And that's good radio, playing a blender into the microphone.
Playing blenders. The sound effects are funny, though.
Yeah.
Let's see.
Is this the first episode of Mighty Morphin Power Hour where you've talked about soap operas?
Probably not. No. Robin, you're the fact checker. Let's introduce you into the show a little bit. Robin is our fact checker every week. Robin, is this the first episode I've talked about soap operas? Because I don't remember.
Hello.
Like, nobody's brought one in yet, which is good.
Did you check, though? Because you're supposed to check.
I don't think there's been a soap opera.
Yeah, we'll wait while you look that up.
Don't just assume.
Or coffee.com/ASC presents. ko-fi.com/ASC presents. It's a better alternative to Patreon, and I'm not saying that because they gave me a year free membership. I'm just saying that because Patreon is stupid.
You have to pay.
I tweeted at Patreon. Well, yeah, but it's good. It's a good thing. What they do is they cut out like making patrons pay the processing fees and to keep the website up or whatever. So right now I have four patrons, and I'm making $21, except I'm getting $20 from someone, and I'm getting a dollar from you, and I'm getting two more dollars. So they're taking just $3 off the top, or whatever, okay. So at some point in the transactions. And Patreon seems to do that a lot, like with Dick Masterson's Patreon, like they're making hundreds of dollars a month off of him.
Oh, yeah.
Whereas you spend $9 a month on coffee.com, the Buy Me a Coffee button, as it was famed a couple years ago, you can support artists that you like, and you don't have to pay for that support because the artist pays like a $9 a month fee or whatever, and then the money is direct to you with no processing fees. I mean, PayPal has them, but... You don't have to deal with, like, the company trying to grub money from the fans, which is something I have a huge problem with.
Yeah.
It was a good plug for coffee.com/ASC presents, which is where I'm going to release all the bonus content we do for the show. And as soon as they have, like, I've been talking to them, and they're working on getting native audio, which I think is the big draw for podcasters, is, you use Patreon, right?
Yep.
There's the monthly recurring and the reward tiers. And then the native audio. Like, what else do you really need for a site? Coffee has one-time payments as well as monthly payments. So if somebody wants to listen to a specific hobosode, they can buy that episode. Like, which, you know, is a good way to do that. Some people are more willing to buy an episode for a dollar that they've heard hype about than, you know, $5 a month. Like, seems more intimidating than that, you know?
Or you could do seasons. We'll introduce that as a feature soon. Like, if someone else is doing it, they got to do it. They got to steal it.
Yeah, absolutely, right?
Yeah.
Well, let's hope not. Let's hope that Coffee is able to step up. I mean, they already work with over 100,000 creators use their site, something like that. Like, it's not like a basement startup by any means, but it's hard to compete with someone like Patreon, who gets so big that they can do whatever they want.
That's true.
It's just like, you know, change fees like as they please and random stuff like that.
Yeah.
What were we talking about? Soap operas.
Yeah, soap operas. Okay, thank you for checking.
Okay.
We have not talked about a soap opera
on the show. And we've never talked about...
But as a main topic. Talking point.
I can't guarantee it's never come up before.
Okay, great.
We need to get someone to come on who watches soap operas.
We're breaking new ground.
Never as a main talking point.
When I watched The Young and the Restless back in 1986, Philip, he'd gotten in a car wreck and because he was drinking and driving, and Cricket broke up with him, and Victor's wife was trying to kill him. That's all. Let's talk about Freak Me Out. That's what I remember of the 80s.
Oh, that's awesome. I wonder if that character is still in The Young and the Restless. Philip?
Philip died, I think. I think, yeah, he died. He was in a coma for a long time. They did the coma thing. And I think he just died.
Yeah.
I think
he has an adult son in the show now named Chance, who
I remember him
on screen, like, born in 1988. And now he's an adult main character.
That's, wait a minute.
Soap operas are cool for doing that.
I thought he died before 88, but whatever. I don't care.
I don't know. It says Chancellor. Oh, God, what a dumb name. He's a fictional character from the CBS daytime soap opera The Young and the Restless, born on screen on March 15, 1988, as the son of Nina Webster and Philip Chancellor III. Philip Chancellor III. I guess a character named Kay killed Philip Chancellor. Dun-dun-dun.
Kay?
I wonder if it was Kay from the song.
Probably. Like, that'd be my guess.
Probably. So, Freak Me Out was a 23-minute, it looks like, from what I've seen, two episodes of it via this really bad torrent I had.
Oh, so you've seen more
Do you remember either
me.
Of... Well, I mean, you've probably seen more of it in general.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah. I saw at least a couple seasons on TV. Because, you know, back then, you couldn't really... You just missed them. If you missed them on TV, you just never saw them.
I watched the first episode and the last episode that I downloaded.
What was in the first episode? I don't remember how it even starts. Do they introduce the characters, or are they just kind of doing their thing?
No, it just opens in their... it just basically opens to Woz trying to hack the air defense control computers. Like, his mom's flight needs to be canceled because she's coming to visit him. And he's been lying to her about, like, his success as a hacker.
That sounds very sitcom-y.
Yeah. So he's just trying to... He's committing a bunch of crimes just to try to get her not to come out instead of, like, facing the truth. And then, like, John's been... he had, like, binoculars. I think he was spying on payphone users across the street to get numbers for his calling card.
Oh, yeah. There was a whole...
Like, he's sitting in the apartment the whole episode.
Like, the payphone was practically a subplot because they were always doing something to the payphone. They were always just fucking with people that use the payphones because there was, like, a bank of them across the street from them.
Yeah. Because I know it was in the first episode there were the payphones. I think the last episode had... a little skit where they just kind of, like, made a joke towards the payphones across the street or something. No, John installed a cordless phone. Yeah, a phone base. He was, like, listening to calls to try to, like, get gossip about the neighbors.
He had the handset.
And, yeah. And they were, like, he got a call from this homeless girl who, like, needed to get home. And the whole episode becomes, like, this Christmas special, like, this Christmas miracle where, like, Woz uses his hacking skills to get her a ticket to go home. So it's, like, a callback to the first episode of, like, him going back to the Air Defense Control Center.
Wow.
And, like, messing with their ticket system, which is surprising continuity.
Yeah, I think that's one I missed. I don't remember that one at all. Christmas special.
Yeah,
of,
oh, it was great.
Me out.
Yeah, it seemed to be the Christmas special. It had Melissa Joan Hart in it. Like, as it had, yeah, she's sort of a celebrity, right? Do you know who Melissa Joan Hart is?
Yeah, Clarissa and the Witch Show. I don't remember.
Yeah,
remember the years for these.
Sabrina,
things.
The teenage witch.
But she was old enough to be a teenage runaway using a payphone in 1993.
Yes. Yeah, because I think Clarissa Explains It All was like 1991 or something. So oh, okay. she was the homeless girl.
The one I remember is like, so the two roommates, they mail a cordless phone to their landlord that lives like downstairs or whatever. He's always coming up and bothering them. He's like a Mr. Furley from Three's Company or something. He's like the wacky landlord.
Yeah.
So they mail him a cordless phone and they convince him it's a prize or something. And I forget what for, but they do it just so that he'll start using a cordless phone and they can listen into all his conversations. And like the whole episode is just them listening to his conversations.
That
way they can
listen? Huh? What's that? Oh, yeah, just that way they can listen to him. Huh? That's funny. They like mailed him a thing to listen to him.
Oh, yeah, you can just use a police scanner. Back then, you could just take a police scanner and then you could listen in on cordless phones. So they would sit up there and listen to all the cordless phones in the neighborhood. But their landlord didn't have one, so they mailed him a phone, and they're listening to his calls, and they think they're about to get evicted because of things he's saying about them, but it's just a misunderstanding, and the landlord is actually planning a surprise birthday party, and that's why they're, you know...
Oh, that's such a classic hijink.
Yeah. Classic 90s sitcom stuff.
I love it. I'm trying to think. There was one that caught my eye, too, because it, like, seemed really drastically more about... I don't know, like you were saying about the computer becoming self-aware or whatever.
Yeah.
Like, that episode, it wasn't just taking over the house. I thought it was like, it had violent intentions.
I've been looking into that, actually. It seems like everyone involved in the show has scrubbed it from their, like, IMDBs. Like, they want nothing to do with it.
I think it was, planning world domination or like it's just like they're just stealing stuff from Radio Shack.
There's a single website I found that has the episode and it's has the credits for it, and it says that the AI was voiced by Gilbert Gottfried. And I checked his IMDb,
so,
and I can't see anything.
We gotta out these people. We gotta like out the conspiracy that's keeping the show hidden. I think Twitter's a good place to take to. We just tweeted these people, like, hey.
How can their credits not be on IMDb? Because, like, it was on TV. Like, it was on at least a couple seasons. Because I watched.
Well, but IMDb is mostly fan updated. So. Yeah. Okay.
Well,
so
it seems like the show never had any reruns. It just had the original run of the show.
What, Brad?
I think it was on a network TV. Because at the time I was watching it, I remember where I was. I didn't have cable. So I was watching it on regular TV. So it had to be sort of big,
KSJV,
right?
KSJV TV type shows.
Well, yeah, I guess it could just be like a local whatever. I don't know.
Where were you? Like roughly at the time? Like were you watching it in a big city?
94 I was in Portland, Oregon. 95 I was in Corpus Christi, Texas.
I guess it could have been one of those weird like Portland TV show, like, you know, because some places do just sort of run shows on their station. Mr. Rogers started that way.
Yeah, maybe it's the Mexican channel.
We got to look into it more. I want to watch this show in better quality, if that exists, but I definitely think we need to start some kind of a Twitter campaign, like, hey, John and Waz, like, what is up with this? Do you know about it? Like, do you know, like, what
Gilbert
happened
Godfrey
to it?
Gilbert Gottfried would probably respond because he's, you know, he doesn't have a whole lot going on. He does his own podcast now, so that tells you what he's up to.
Yeah, he's got quite the career. Everybody, you know what, let's all just go, everybody that listens to this episode needs to just go ahead and tweet at Gilbert Gottfried. I don't know if that's his Twitter or not.
Yeah, if he's even on Twitter.
He's got to be, right? Norm MacDonald is on Twitter. Gilbert Gottfried's got to be.
Yeah, but Gilbert Gottfried's like 100 or something.
Fair. Am I wrong about this, or was Gilbert Gottfried the bird from Cyber Chase, or is that someone else?
He was the bird from Little Mermaid, the movie.
Robin, who was the bird from that math show?
Hurry up and fact checked for us.
Did.
Yeah. I'm checking currently, yes. It was Gilbert Gottfried, yeah. Didge. He's a cybird.
A cybird.
That's great. I've never heard of that. I think what I mostly know him from is Problem Child. The two Problem Child movies.
Okay.
That was good stuff. You probably never even seen that before.
No, I have no idea. You've this episode is all about child? Learning about new things. No.
Yeah,
what's Problem Child?
A bunch of old shit that some old guy on your show is telling you about.
Tell me more about Problem Child.
So it was supposed to be a replacement. Wait, no, I'm thinking of something else. So Freddy Krueger was ending. They wanted their own horror type franchise. So they decided it would be this adopted kid who was just super evil and did really evil things and killed people, I assume. And it turned into a movie, but they ended up making it just a weird comedy. So instead of having him kill people, he was, electrocuting them comically and destroying birthday parties. And he teamed up with Kramer from Seinfeld before he was Kramer. And
the racism stuff, right?
Yeah, way before that.
Did you see that breakdown? Did you ever watch that video? It's so good.
I remember it when it happened. Everyone was playing it.
Oh man, it was so funny. Yeah,
Kramer played the bow tie killer, like in the show, and like Junior wanted to be, like that was his childhood hero. He wanted to be just like the bow tie killer, so he ran away and went to meet him. Like I forget how it happened. Like broke him out of prison or something.
Oh, that's amazing. Yeah,
that's Problem Child. It's an early '90s show.
Problem Child.
There's a one and a two.
There's a lot of early '90s shows that people need to watch. Like they need to see them. You know, that way they can make stuff in the future that is better, but representative of those things. You know, the themes are important to carry into further generations.
So everybody, watch Problem Child 1 and 2. Watch Electric Dreams, the movie, and watch Freak Me Out.
Porno.
Yeah,
and watch Freak Me Out.
I assume there's a porno. I don't know. I wouldn't know.
So, with Freak Me Out, what we're going to do now is the main part of the show. We're going to morph Freak Me Out with Power Rangers. Like, what if that show, those characters, had the abilities to turn into, like, alien superheroes and beat people up, basically?
Okay.
Are you ready for
There's
this?
A small problem with this?
Yeah.
Like, I know absolutely nothing about Power Rangers. Like, nothing. I know that they have those suits. I know we used to prank call Jason David Frank a whole bunch and his fans.
See, we should have talked about that in the opening of the show. What am I doing?
Yeah. Yeah. I remember it was on TV when my kids were very young, and I think I would change the channel when it came on because I'm like, no, come on, watch something cool.
This is dumb. And yeah, watch Freak Me Out or Days of Our Lives.
Yeah, that'd be better. My daughter, when she was like two, she had this friend that she hung out with that would come over and you know, just hang out, some kid. And he was really into Power Rangers. He'd come over in a Power Rangers suit and he'd do the thing where they like spaz out. And I'm like, wow, that's so fucking gay. This kid is so
me
gay.
Me at the Shokinos.
Yeah, basically it was a two-year-old version of you at the Shokinos.
Did you have like PTSD? Like when I came on stage, like, oh no, this is so gay.
That fucking kid. Come to think of it, you'd be about his age now. So.
Dun dun dun. How long have I been following the PLA? That's great.
But I seriously have never seen.
So you know nothing about Power Rangers.
Yeah, I haven't seen a single episode. I know they have some sort of a device that turns them. I don't know. I'm just guessing. Yeah.
Okay. So what we got to do is we got to assign the cast of. Oh, what?
Oh, no, that was like seconds ago. Never mind.
Seconds ago. We've got to give the cast of Freak Me Out morphers and colors so that they can fight the villain of Freak Me Out, which I'm guessing is just the superintendent of the building.
Yeah. Well, you told me Waz is blue something because of. Something blue,
yeah.
I don't know.
Steve Wozniak sort of has this name, like Berkeley Blue. Like he's called, I guess that's like his phone freak name or whatever.
Oh, because of blue boxing?
Yeah, because of blue boxing. Yeah, so I'm guessing he can be the blue box ranger.
There was blue boxing on Freak Me Out. They did weird things with boxes and like they had fake boxes though, like stuff that couldn't exist that would just do weird things over the phone. Like, you know, blue boxes would take over trunks and let you pretend to be the operator, but these would... I can't remember the details, but I just remember the boxes did just insane things, like TV sitcom type things.
Robin, can you find anything about the boxes? And we'll come back to that. So, So Waz is going to be the blue box ranger. That's an easy one. And then I guess that means John has to be the red ranger. Who else is a ranger? Who else could be a ranger?
I was going to say blue, because like, isn't Frosted Flakes the blue color? And that's like where they got the whistle from and named himself after the whistle.
Well, wait.
But no, red's fine. I'm not trying to complain. No, red is perfect.
We can't have two blue rangers though. So we just got to pick one of them to be blue.
Can we have navy blue and bright blue turquoise?
Yes, let's do that. Navy blue
and the turquoise ranger.
The turquoise ranger and the navy blue ranger.
Oh, was there?
At one point there was I think you're referring to Ninja Storm where like the color is just really not blue. It's just like very turquoise, but they call her the Blue Ranger. So,
turquoise is too confusing for kids.
Yeah, it's too many syllables. That's too much. Turquoise. It's like two of them. You need blue.
It's excluding kids that have speech impediments. You can't say turquoise. Mr. Biggs wants to be the Burnt Umber Ranger.
The what?
The Burnt Umber Ranger. That's what he's saying in the chat room.
Yes.
Whatever the fuck that is.
That's funny. The Burnt Umber Ranger. They're getting crazier with these Ranger things. They just announced at Power Morphicon this week, which is just Comic-Con for Power Ranger nerds. The Solar Ranger, which is like a weird purple suit with like a bunch of other colors highlighted on it. The Solar Ranger. I hope they're not Pokemoning it, where they have to be like, oh, red, blue, green, leaf green, fire red, sun and moon.
What's introducing it though? Like video games or because I know there was
comic
a movie.
Books. Oh, Boom, okay. The Boom Studios like comics.
Power Rangers is like a big on comics then? I had no idea.
It's not like a big thing necessarily, but it is the best thing we've ever gotten Power Rangers wise. Like fans as kids grew up, became professional comic book writers, and then were like, hey, what if Power Rangers were good? And like not campy garbage, not bad, not something you want to flip away from when your kid's watching it. They did a Power Rangers Justice League crossover last year. They just did this thing called the Morphing Grid, where Tommy Oliver is revealed to be like the biggest bad guy in the whole Power Ranger universe. Yeah, he becomes this thing called, like, the Black Dragon, and he, like, breaks the Morphing Grid, which is what connects all the Power Ranger universes. You know, there's, like, too many different shows where they're all, like, different, but sort of all still Power Rangers.
Yeah,
sort of. It canonically brings all of them together into one universe. So it's interesting.
You should have forced me to watch an episode of Power Rangers before I came on here, or the movie or something.
I wouldn't do that to you.
Let's start over. Let's just forget about this show, and we'll start over tomorrow after I watch an episode.
All right. This has been the Mighty Morphin Power Hour. Those are all the... I guess there's not a lot of cast members in Freak Me Out, though. It's hard to get...
They had the neighbor. Like, he was basically the Kramer. Like, I think his name was Kevin. I think he was based on Kevin Mitnick.
Yeah, that makes sense.
He was, like, the annoying neighbor that would always come over, you know, just walk on in.
Hey, guys. Hey, what's up today?
Yeah. And the weird thing was, like, Kevin was really into hacking and freaking too, but they didn't like him. Like they just wanted nothing to do with him, and they just shit on him all the time. Like, he was, like, the lame version of a hacker or freaker.
Well, that's what he gets for being a neighbor.
That's right.
He should have moved in with
the superintendent. The superintendent, he always wore a yellow shirt, actually, so I don't know why either, because...
He could be the Yellow Ranger.
Yeah, maybe that was just his superintendent uniform, but he wore this yellow button-up shirt.
Are you sure it wasn't burnt umber or burgundy or something? With gold piping.
Oh, that reminds me. Did you hear the show I put out the other day, the Snowplow show, where I was telling someone I lost my Power Rangers wallet in their yard?
I didn't hear that. Oh, that's cute.
Yeah, and he knew I was full of shit, and he's like, oh, that's just like mine, but mine's Ninja Turtles. It's like some old man was telling me that.
Oh, that's so funny. Was that 93 or 93? Because you uploaded two of them, and they're both called episode 493.
Oh, it was whatever was the latest one, which I think is 94.
So like 19 hours ago is Watering Your Trees, and one day ago is Another Garage Sale, but they're both episode 493 of the generic Chips and Four Loko show.
Yeah, I screwed up. They're different. It's the Watering Your Trees one where I lose my Power Ranger wallet in their yard.
That's amazing. You gotta throw in some more like random little Power Ranger things sometimes. People like, it's got brand recognition, but nobody remembers it. Like, it's this weird franchise where everybody knows it, but like nobody knows it. You know what I mean?
I'll do my best.
Yeah. And then, you know, a perfunctory shout out to the show every time you mention Power Rangers.
Well, I think you should shout out my show, or not my show, but just prank shows in general, by putting a prank call to Jason David Frank's fans at the end of one of your episodes.
Oh, if I can find... is there an easy way to get them?
I think they're on YouTube. Like, I think there's a bunch on YouTube, but they're all spread all over the place, so it's hard to find them. But there are so many of them. There's got to be like 100 of them. Okay, so your listeners don't know what we're talking about. Back in the day, prank callers, was it like Dwight and Carlito and guys who names I can't remember?
Dwight was a big one.
Yeah, Dwight was really into it. Shit, why can't I remember their names? Dr. Unk. Yeah, he did a bunch of them.
Okay.
Spray? Was there some guy named... I don't know. But like they would call up fans, like fans would post their phone numbers on Jason David Frank's Facebook page or whatever, and then Dwight would call up as
thinking he was going to call them.
yeah, like fan. Oh, I wonder if I put my phone number on here, he'll call me. and then Dwight would call them up and be like, "Hey, this is Jason David Frank."
Hero to millions.
They'd be so excited to talk to Jason David Frank. And they rarely questioned it. And Dwight would just get weirder and weirder and talk about using drugs and try and get them to come over for sex or whatever, you know? Like just say wacky things to him. It was some of the best prank calls ever. And I don't even, you know, I know nothing about Power Rangers, but that was amazing that they were doing that. That was great. That was really good stuff.
I did find one of them that's like 3 minutes from Dwight's channel. So I'll just have Zwick throw that in here.
Throw that in, Zwick.
What's up? Hi, my name is Eric, and I need to get transferred to my brother's room.
Okay, what's his room number, sir?
I don't have the room number. Can I give you his last name?
Sure, go ahead.
Last name is Frank, F-R-A-N-K, and the first name's Jason.
Okay, just for a moment, okay?
All right, thank you.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to finally get to talk to my hero.
Hello?
Good evening, is this Mr. Frank?
Yeah.
Yeah, I just want to let you know, sir, that you're a hero to fucking millions.
Me too. It's a huge honor, you motherfucker.
Yeah. It's Morphin time. I love you.
And we're sorry about the Yellow Ranger.
Yes.
She was a whore.
Did you get to fuck the Pink Ranger?
Where's Tammy? Tammy!
What's that?
Where's Tammy at?
I'm not too sure.
We challenge you, bastard. We challenge your ass.
I'm a huge fan, by the way.
Yeah?
I've definitely seen Star Wars. Or whatever it is.
We represent Yuri, the most complete fighter in the world.
Yeah, the good news, guys, this is being recorded for my attorney and being tracked. We appreciate your time.
Thank you. We appreciate your time, sir.
God bless.
It's Morphin time.
Morphin time.
It's lawsuit time.
Losers.
It's legal time.
It has been accomplished. The first contact with Jason David Frank.
Okay, so you gotta have a major villain working for like, or like a minor villain that works for the supreme evil overlord of the season. Like, who would those two characters be? You know, you don't know because you don't know Power Rangers, but every episode, the random bad guy of the day gets really, really big for some reason. So we gotta figure out who those people are and why they're getting really big. I think the supercomputer should be the bad guy.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely the supercomputer. The superintendent was sort of an enemy of theirs, but then he was also sort of a friend.
Sort of a friend. I like him as the Yellow Ranger, Kevin as the Pink Ranger, obviously. Then we got our red and blue. So that's a strong team.
He's lame.
We just got to send our Ranger squad up against our supercomputer. Like, how does the computer get very, very big? Like, skyscraper big?
I don't understand. Like, you mean physically big that it would grow?
Yeah. How did it? Yeah, it's got to get like really large so that the Rangers can call their Megazord. That's how every episode of the Power Rangers goes.
Wow. I see. Like, I had no idea about that. I don't know. It, like, nanotechnology. I mean, computers are magic back then.
Okay.
You just write the, put enough computing power in there, and next thing you
like
know,
write it's the code. Trying to hook up.
Yeah, it's trying to hook up with your girlfriend, like an electric dream.
Okay, so the computer just starts self-replicating and combining into a network that just gets larger and larger.
Yeah, it starts grabbing on to think like there's so much technology in their apartment because they always had like just a bunch of it was kind of like the Big Bang Theory, but not lame. Well, I mean, it was kind of lame, but you know, the apartment was just filled with all this crazy equipment. Like, they had like a cell phone cloning, you know, equipment. And anyway, yeah, the computer, it just starts grabbing all of that stuff and adding it like the Borg. It just turns into the Borg. It's grabbing everything and becoming more and more powerful the more it takes. Then it starts taking stuff from other apartments.
Yeah, I was thinking the pay phones outside become its arms and legs, like the payphone bank. So he's like,
yeah.
He's just getting bigger, grabbing more stuff, microwave for a head.
And freak me out, John and Waz, they were always tapping into the phone lines of their neighbors, so they always had phone wires coming in through the walls where they could listen in on the neighbors' phone calls and stuff. So the computer would have access to those and be able to get into the other apartments.
The computer can just sort of lift itself up, lift the building up, using all of the tech in the building. So it's just the apartment building is just the bad guy.
Yeah, the payphones are the feet or the arms.
Yeah. So I'm guessing our heroes building's
walking around with phone booth shoes.
So our heroes need like Megazords, right? Like they need to call on these creatures that
what
they
the
can.
What the fuck is a Megazord?
A Megazord is a giant mech, which is a anime robot you can get inside of and fight other things with. But the Megazord is made up of little individual zords, which are symbolic, symbolic of the personality of the Ranger itself. So like John would have a giant phone or something that he like jumps inside of. And then like what would Waz have? Like what is symbolic of Waz to you?
An Apple IIe.
That works.
An Apple 2E computer.
So like he jumps
really
up,
dumb.
He's
like
controlling it from the keyboard, like.
yeah,
but it's like they're these giant.
Inside his mech is an Apple IIe that controls it all.
It's a smaller Apple IIe inside of the giant Apple IIe he's inside of. It's meta.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
And then Kevin Mitt. What did Kevin Mitnick do in real life? Wasn't he just like didn't he just like jokingly hack into a government site or something?
He was really into phones, but I don't know.
I thought he was like a memer, though.
He was like a John and a Waz put together. He did everything. What do you mean a memer? He was a what?
He was. he's a memer, someone who does memes. Like he was just doing it for the lulz, as the kids say.
Oh, yeah, yeah, definitely for the lulz, but, like, he did some serious shit, Kevin Mitnick.
Oh, really?
Like, yeah. Okay. Yeah, you should read about him someday.
Well, we were friends on Facebook for a while, and, like, we talked a little bit, but I guess he's a good guy now. He runs a white hat hacking company to help people with security problems.
He always turns into a good guy for a while, and then the next thing you know, he's, like, on the lam, and he's wanted, and... You'll eventually catch him. The cycle will repeat eventually.
Yeah.
I think he
has like an iPhone. Like he just has an iPhone in the 90s because he's a mix of Waz and John.
Oh yeah. I don't know.
Like, or an iPad. He's just like surfing on an iPad. Like that's his sort of transportation technique when he comes into battle.
Are we supposed to be thinking in terms of 1993 though?
I mean, we could. Is there something in 1993 that is symbolic of Kevin Mitnick?
An Oki 900 cell phone.
Okay.
Those were easily clonable.
They're also, like, invincible, which is good armor.
He actually used one of those in the show. That's like, you know, I remember weird phone facts, and I can remember that he used an Oki 900 in that show. Kevin Mitnick did.
Okay. So that's obviously his.
Why not?
His Megazord. And then the superintendent, a plunger. Oh, that's so funny.
Now I'm just thinking of Mr. Furley, because I don't remember a whole lot about the superintendent and freaking out.
That's funny.
Mr. Biggs says we sound like robots. It's because we're climbing into our mech suits, Mr. Biggs.
Yeah, we're in mech suits. Megazords.
Yeah.
Mechanzoids.
Yeah. Those things.
This is the most boomer episode of the Mighty Morphin Power Hour, which is great. Let's see. It's we're coming at the world from two different perspectives. A child who grew up with Power Rangers and an adult who grew up ignoring Power Rangers. Which is awesome.
I don't know. I just never got into it. I just thought it looked dumb. No offense or anything.
Probably
if I watched it, I wouldn't hate it. I bet you the movie's not bad. Maybe I should start with the movie.
The movie's okay. I would actually... No, I always recommend the show Power Rangers in Space. It's on Netflix, and it was made by some of the producers of Battlestar Galactica. So it's like actually a good show. Like, yeah, they put plot in it and stuff. You can see their studio pushback when the plot becomes like too actual, and they're like, wait, you gotta end that, wrap that up, make it silly. Like, they sort of like get told to dumb the show down. But it's definitely a space opera, and it's about they're all on a spaceship, and the show starts with the Red Ranger Andros having to hire like these new, like a new team basically, because his last team was killed 2 years ago, and he's been fighting to save the universe by himself for years, and he just can't do it anymore.
Like, poor guy.
His best friend's in a coma for like saving his life, shit like that. It's very dark. It's good. And there's like love in it. There's like relationship plot lines. There's friendship. There's betrayal. Episode 3 has the Ninja Turtles. Because, you know, why not?
Why?
Yeah, just, you know, why not?
So that guy that I told him I lost my wallet, he knew what he's talking about. He's like, no, mine's the turtle.
Yeah, he must have seen that episode. Episode 3 of Power Rangers in Space, Shell-Shocked.
Even though he was probably 80 years old, he's got nothing better to do. He sits at home and watches Power Rangers.
I hope he was curious after that. Like, I hope he didn't know what the Power Rangers were. I was like, what are these? And looked it up. That'd be funny. But I'm sure he does. I think like old people like probably know Power Rangers, because you're either a kid who watches Power Rangers, or you're like a really old person whose grandkids watch Power Rangers. Because like, yeah, parents can just ignore that shit. But like, grandparents tend to sit with their kids and watch the stupid stuff they watch. Like, my grandma got me into Power Rangers. Like, she's had all these VHS tapes that I would watch, which is, like, where I watched Power Rangers at first. So it's sort of, like, she knows a lot about Power Rangers.
That's weird.
Yeah, it is weird.
Your grandma's weird.
You're right. Do you remember prank calling her?
I don't think my parents...
You prank called her once. Back, we were in, like, a Skype call in, like, 2014 or something, 2013. And, I had you like, we were just conferencing and we thought it'd be funny. I just had you like prank call her so that I could play like the feedback from her end to you guys through Skype. So it was sort of the like first Calls of Mass Confusion-y thing that we had done.
Yeah.
And you like told her that I had hacked into the FBI, because she was like really naive about computers, didn't know anything about them. She said I was like hacking into the government or something, and that people were outside that needed me. And she like came in my room and just started screaming at me that she was going to take the computer away, and that I'm not allowed to, that I need to turn off all of the internet. And I was like, okay, I'll turn off the internet. Like,
and then we didn't hear from you again until like 2017.
Yeah, it took a minute. I got in a lot of trouble for that one. That was really funny, though.
Were you able to convince her that you know, it was just a joke?
Yeah, okay. I was like, listen to this podcast. Look, you hear that voice? And she was like, is this a radio? And I was like, no, hold on. I was like, listen to the voice. She's like, there's an FBI agent on here. And I was like, no. That's not what happened. But she kind of had it stuck in her head backwards for a while. She's like, you're just trying to convince me that you aren't in trouble, but I know you are. And then
I actually somewhat remember that. I just don't remember all the details, but I do remember calling your grandma, I guess.
Yeah.
I remember causing problems for you.
I had a lot of you guys like mess with my dad too. Robin, you were there, right? Like for that story when my dad threw his phone into the fireplace mantle and just like broke it because of Dwight and Brad.
Yeah, I do remember that.
Yeah, I was having you prank call.
I don't remember calling your...
He's an angry man.
I don't remember calling your dad at all. I do remember calling your grandma, but not your dad.
Oh, that one was so much funnier. I think you were just in the conference. I think Dwight made the actual call to his phone, but he was like, it was like some, hey, you got those dildos on Craigslist still? And my dad just like started screaming homophobic stuff and then hung up like two or three times and then threw the... And then just threw the phone at the mantle place. Just broke it. Just shattered his phone. We never knew it had anything to do with me. But
you should do a show where you tell him, like, live on the air that it was you.
That's funny.
If he even remembers it.
I should. We don't really talk anymore. So. But.
We'll see. This would be a good way to, you know.
Fix the relationship.
It's a good conversation starter with him.
That's fair. Like, hey, Dad, remember that time you broke your phone because you were being harassed on the internet? Yeah, so I was telling him to do that. I think he would just, you know, immediately never talk to me again.
But so there would be no change, so why not?
That's true. I'll have to upload the prank call audio to patreon.com/ASEPresents.
Do you still have the prank?
Oh, I don't. Yeah. Wow. But I can make new pranks. I'll just start prank calling my dad every week for some reason. Just add it to the Patreon.
That'll be a segment. That'll be your new segment.
Okay, so this was the most ramshackle episode of the Mighty Morphin Power Hour, but
it's good because you're introducing people that don't know anything about Power Rangers to the Power Rangers.
And introducing everyone else that knows nothing about Freak Me Out to Freak Me Out, which I'm really excited for. I gotta try to find a higher quality.
I don't think there's any way to find a higher quality.
Like, we need to get in contact with Gilbert Godfrey.
Online and yeah, maybe he has it all on VHS, his own personal collection. But I mean, no, he was just in one single episode. He just did the voice of the computer.
Yeah. But I haven't found any actors like names listed, and I don't recognize the guys in the show. Well, there's Melissa Joan Hart, like she became famous. But I think it's mostly like everybody else didn't become famous, so these people were like, "Oh, we're not going to talk about this."
Yeah, there wasn't really a large cast. There was like random old people in the building that they lived in, like their neighbors.
I wonder if they were just people there while filming.
Yeah, probably like the caterer, the janitor. I don't know. It didn't feel that low budget. It just seemed like a standard corny sitcom from the 90s.
Yeah, it didn't. But low budget's a weird way to classify. Like, because the pilot to Always Sunny in Philadelphia was filmed for real cheap. Like, I think.
Yeah, I don't remember.
I think like 100 or 300 bucks or something. It was like real cheap. Yeah, you can make good TV for no money. But
yeah, and most of it took place in their apartment.
Yeah.
Like I remember the episode where I think John got the job at Radio Shack and they filmed in a Radio Shack because he was like stealing a bunch of stuff from Radio Shack. But they didn't call it Radio Shack. It was called some weird generic term. So mainly you just saw their main apartment, you know, it was like a big spread out apartment, like in Seinfeld or whatever.
Yeah. So people are saying in the Discord that the audio just sounds terrible, which we'll cut this part out. But yeah, this,
yeah, you're cutting.
Yeah, you too. Like it's just cutting really bad. I think it's the setup we have. We're testing it. That's what this is. We've been testing it in different ways, different, little tweaks to the formula. The podcast will always be like the same. It'll always be good at ASEPresents.com. But the sort of live thing is a test to see if it works. We'll get all the kinks figured out.
Oh, was I supposed to be recording?
Wait, are you kidding?
Yeah, I'm just kidding. I'm recording.
I've had too many satirical drinks of this Four Loko for you to say that.
How much, like, have you drank an entire Four Loko throughout the show?
I'm close. I could probably just finish it in the show right now.
Yeah, hurry up and do that. Chug, chug, chug. I don't even know if I'm allowed to drink yet, because I graduated my drug and alcohol classes last week, but I still have to do my discharge session, which is next week. So I don't think I'm allowed to drink yet. I can't have any Four Lokos.
It's good audio. You should do like some kind of celebratory, like, I can drink again show when you can drink again. I mean,
okay,
that'd be a shit show, right?
Yeah, why not? It'd be like the good old days. I'll do a Four Loko and Tostitos show.
Yeah.
I won't even call it the Snowplow show. I'll just call it the Four Loko and
Tostitos generic show. Tortilla chips and Four Loko show. That's my favorite podcast you've ever done. The Brent Westwood pre-show.
The Dwight pre-show. Yeah. I should do a Brent Westwood pre-show.
Yeah, again. Like even though there is no,
like, even Brent though he's not Westwood. On the air
anymore. You should just call.
I'm going to name my next show the Brent Westwood pre-show.
Just see if he'll give you like an audio bumper for the end of the episode where he just says, hi, I'm Brent Westwood. And you just listen to the Brent Westwood pre-show and then just that's it.
Or I could just play one of his old shows, like just the beginning of it and fade out.
Oh, that's funny.
To screw with people.
You should do that. You should totally do that. Oh, all right. this has been... this is going to be a fuck job to edit, I believe is the quote. This has been the Mighty Morphin Power Hour. We had Brad Carter with us. We had Robin, the fact checker.
Thanks for checking all those facts, Robin.
I'll see you next week at the command center. Same
that's the
Power
job.
Ranger yep. time, same Power Ranger channel. I'm never drinking while doing the show again, though. Well, that's it for our adventures today, but we'll see you at the command center next week. Special thanks to our very own Alpha Zwick and our very own Ron Wasserman, Grant Mooney from Thought Cops. For bonus content and to support the show, go ahead and check out Antisocial Entertainment on Facebook as well as patreon.com/ASEPresents.
Best of friends. Their neighbor Kevin is always annoying them. Their wacky schemes will always make you smile. They hack computers and phones with such style. Freak me out. Day is brighter when you say it all day. Freak me out. They don't have girlfriends, but they swear they're not gay. Freak me out. Adventures start with the click of a mouse. Freak me out. Their landlord's gonna kick them out of the house.